Now, the latest chapter in the struggle between the military and the journalists who cover the war in Iraq. On January 29th, the New York Times printed a story under the headline, "Man Down: When One Bullet Alters Everything." It is one of the clearest portraits of the war in Iraq, sketching out the characters of several soldiers and what happens when, during an operation, one is suddenly shot in the head by a sniper. From the story, you understand the bravery and humility of the troops, and also their vulnerability. At the end, you are told that the man who'd been shot, Staff Sergeant Hector Leja, died. The correspondent who wrote this story is Damian Cave, and with it ran a picture of the scene that started a battle of its own, this one between the military and journalists who cover the war. In it, you see one of Sergeant Leja's fellow soldiers dashing to recover Leja's helmet. Blood smears the floor. Damian Cave spoke to us today from Baghdad.
The picture, I felt, was a sign of how hard the military was working to save this guy's life. There were guys in the middle of an unbelievably deadly war zone of urban combat where you have sniper fire, mortars, everything coming in at once. There were medevac guys who got him out of there in 4 minutes flat.
The military and Leja's family didn't feel that way. The family was hurt. The military was angry. And as a consequence, they pulled journalist Damian Cave out of the unit he was embedded with. Cave says he was told he didn't follow the strict rules laid down for embedded journalists, that his pictures and also video on the New York Times website had violated the privacy of Sergeant Leja and his family. Cave protested and eventually was allowed back, this time with a unit fighting in Mahmoudia. But now the rules were different. Now he needed permission from the soldiers before he could print their pictures.
On this day in Mahmoudia, there were three soldiers who were wounded, and it put me in the position of bringing in two guys who still had shrapnel wounds all over their face, one guy whose hearing was still severely damaged, and sitting them down in front of a laptop and showing them images of, you know, a moment where they were vulnerable, and then asking them to write a permission note.
Under the old rules, a soldier could opt out if he didn't want to be in a reporter's coverage. Now it's up to the journalist to make sure each soldier agrees to be in the story or picture. Colonel Steve Boylan, the top public affairs officer in Iraq, says this is to protect soldiers' privacy.
There's a lot of people that are wounded and return to duty, and they feel they don't want to have their family notified. If that's the case, then we abide by their wishes. It's their right to privacy. We cannot notify families if a soldier does not wish their family to be notified about their medical condition. I was shot when I was here last time. My family was not notified because I didn't want them to be notified. They had enough to worry about with me just being in Iraq. They did not find out till after I was home. There are a lot of soldiers in that same situation. They don't want their families to have more to worry about than they already do.
But Damian Cave and other journalists say the new rule has a stifling effect on their coverage of the war. Fewer images are allowed, fewer soldiers can be identified, and Cave contends that means the public has less information about the war.
One thing is, I think, that the military is an institution that's publicly funded, that's playing a role with policies that our democratic government has enacted. And I think that you can argue that letting the public know exactly what this institution is doing is in some ways, not always, but in some ways more important than the right to privacy.
Do you think the military is using this privacy argument to, in essence, censor images of the war?
I think that they're under a lot of pressure to show progress, to show success, and I think that they have a very clear understanding of the power of some of these images and how the public would understand the war. And I absolutely think that that's a factor in how these policies work.
I put the question to the military. Colonel Boylan, was this a political decision by the Army to control the image of the war?
None whatsoever. That is the furthest thing from the truth, and anybody that would imply that is sadly mistaken. This was simply to protect the rights of the soldiers in order to give them the opportunity and the choice to determine whether their families are notified or not on their injuries.
Boylan adds that as long as the soldiers aren't identified, journalists are free to use any images or scenes they want. But Cave says there's something that's lost when the soldiers fighting this war are left anonymous.
What you start to lose when you don't identify them is that these are individuals. You know, this is someone's son and someone's father and someone who made a decision to join the military and serve his country. And it's true that you can still have an impact with images that don't identify them. But, you know, in the case of the unit that I was with in Mahmoudia, under that system, you'd never know that Sergeant Wisniewski was a guy with a really sarcastic sense of humor, that he was something more than just an unidentifiable person.
Cave says he's working with the military's new rules, though he has not much choice in the matter. It's too dangerous for American journalists to cover the battlefield without the protection of the military. This certainly is not the first scuffle between journalists covering Iraq and the military, and it's not likely to be the last. But it does sketch the fault lines of the deeper situation. What images will Americans at home get to see of the war their country is fighting in Iraq?